Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning here with you. And for three decades and then some, our next guest has been giving people the history of music and the history of the state of Maine as well. On Maine Public Broadcasting, Toby Boutelier joins us in studio from down memory lane. And some big and exciting news, Toby, about the show.
Well, I guess we're back on the air.
Yeah. Is that a little hot? Are your headphones too high or too low?
No. I run it high.
We'll give you a little more in there.
Yeah, because am I there? No. I guess so.
Yeah, that's because you're an old radio guy, and I don't mean old in that sense.
Well, that too, but I mean, I run it very hard.
Oh, me too. I think it has to do with when people started in the business.
Yeah.
I keep it cranked right up.
Oh, yes. And this is why you get tinnitus.
Right. My left ear, not what it used to be by any stretch.
I just hear hissing, and, you know. But that's from wearing headphones all your life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's go back in time a little bit, because I think you were on with us a little more than 3 years ago when the decision was made to move your show and move some other programming to internet only.
Right. Yes. It was, I was probably the only casualty, because I was on an afternoon, and their plan is to make the original MPBN radio really sort of like your ZON talk and interviews and, call-ins like they have. And of course, we're doing a great job with that. And part of the plan was to eventually get all the music off the MPBN radio by setting up a second system, which this HD radio has allowed. And so we finally have come to the point where next Monday they're going to remove the remaining classical music off of the original MPBN radio stations, put it on the HD2 side of the towers that are already broadcasting Fort Kent, Calais, Presque Isle, Bangor, Camden, Waterville, and Portland. And as you know, not that many people have HD radios.
No, so, but I know in a lot of the new vehicles, the HD radios are going in, and we've been doing it here on WZON for well over a year now.
Yeah,
so
well,
it is growing.
I mean, you're the first people in Bangor to do this, and now you've got company in that.
Exactly.
That WMEH FM is broadcasting, and we have been broadcasting for, I don't know, a couple of months, 24/7 classical music, but it's been sort of from away. It's brought to us from the, public radio has a system where they produce 24/7 classical programming, and you can plug into it when you're not originating your own.
Now, in addition to being on the HD radio, though, it'll also be on locally on the FM side at 106.1.
Yes, and that's been on there since they bought the station somewhere around January. The station came up for sale, and this is what our management is doing. They're finding stations for sale around Maine, and we have one in Waterville at 99.7, which is sort of a low power, but it gets to Augusta and out in the country. And they've bought one in Fryeburg, which will cover the lakes region of western Maine. So they're sort of piecemealing these old-fashioned FM stations together to make another network for people that can't get the HD.
And this will be MPBN Classic or Classical? Classical.
No, I mean, there is a change in nomenclature. We've been MPBN Television, MPBN Radio, and that described it. But now there's two radio systems. So the original MPBN Radio is now going to be called Maine Public Radio. And the second system is being called Maine Public Classical.
Ah, okay.
And that's how we identify it.
Is this like Coke Classic?
No, it refers to the music, the
right.
Classical.
Oh, absolutely.
There's various eras of classical music. I mean, there's the Romantic era, Baroque, modern. But people, the general public, know anything that's concert hall and, right, and highbrow is called classical music. So,
but also, your show will be on Down Memory Lane. Right. Rich Tozier will be on doing his jazz.
Jazz, right. And the Robin Rillette, who does the 3 hours in the morning that Robert J. Lertzimer used to have the mornings, and she's in Portland doing this locally, and it's a great boon because the people that have concerts and things going around the state, we have an arts calendar kind of a thing where, right, and she can have people in that are involved with the concerts. She's being removed from the original station and will only be heard on the main public classical. And this is, this is a bone of contention for some people that won't be able to hear it right off because they either don't have the HD radios or they're not in range of Bangor or Waterville.
Well, the good news is for your legion of fans around these parts is that we'll be able to hear you on the radio over the airwaves again,
right,
starting a week from Friday with Down Memory Lane.
It's been on the, if this is the secret, I've been doing it over 106.1 for the last month.
Okay.
This will be the sixth program done. But it's just the same old thing, except it's an hour longer.
Right.
I mean, it was 2 hours forever. It's sort of like you. You got a
program. We added another hour to it. So now, do you cover a longer range? Because you were stopping. You've been stopping in the 70s.
Right. No. I'm just being able to play all of it.
That's great.
It was always truncated. I never had enough time to play it all. And this was the thing when Charles was setting up the schedule. And he said, "Can you go 3 hours?" And I said, "Well, I can, I'll be going 2.5 anyway with the material I have." But then I thought it through and I said, "Hey, the rest of the show will be Broadway stuff, and it's going to be like original cast recordings of the shows that were current in these weeks in 1956 and 1966.
Now, I have to ask you, Toby, because the music is wonderful, and that's why I listen. I think that's why so many do, but it's also the research that you do on history from the Bangor Daily News archives. Where do you go to get that information?
Well, I've gotten it over the years. I still have the letter written in 1982 by the promotion head of the Bangor News saying, we'll allow you to read our old newspapers over the air. And I still keep it, and I don't know whether that's a legality, but it's a nicety. And I've never thrown these away. I used to go Xerox them out of the library. You go in the microfilm and find the proper newspaper.
Right. I remember those days well.
And I've saved them all these years. So I just have them all in the cellar stacked up.
And, of course, you've got chart information, too. Do you have old Billboard magazines in the archives?
Well, I don't know. You used to spin discs.
I did many years.
Well, I don't know. Did you know those Billboard compilation
the
books?
The Joel Whitburn books. Yeah, of course. Whitburn. Yeah, I have several of those.
Yeah, well, see, that's the basis of it. And he sort of fudged the things for the older years and published a very thick book starting in 1890 and going up to the rock era. And it was a matter of just taking the book out and yard sailing, go to radio stations and getting all the old records.
And whenever you can, when you play vinyl, too. This is
They've kept the studio. We have turntables, reel-to-reel tape, cassette players, and they would take them out if I wasn't doing it.
Because when I hear a cue scratch, I immediately, I feel like a young man again, Toby.
And boy, don't I tell you. This was in a radio station. Well, it's like what they do with hip-hop or whatever those DJs do with those records now. They do the same thing.
Yeah, we didn't intend to do that back in the day. That's how you knew it was a popular record. It had that cue burn at the beginning.
Here comes the song.
Now, I know you're also a classical aficionado, but when you play the songs that were popular for the last 100 years or so, is there an era that you enjoy especially? Because for me, I love the old stuff. I love hearing the songs from the teens, from the 1920s.
Right.
I would not know who Ben Selvin was if it were not for you.
Exactly. I mean, and I didn't know a lot of these people when I dug into it. But, just to be able to present it, I, you know, you find out, and you get all the little quirks about records that you know about, I mean, that have told to you in liner notes or wherever or books you're reading. But this is what's tiring. It's like, you know this, if you're on constantly, you're especially playing 2-minute records, you've got to cue ahead. You've
right.
got to look up this out of this book.
No, we're talking with Topu yeah. Labutalere, Down Memory Lane, Maine Public Classical, yes. 106.1 and HD2, Friday afternoons. My suggestion is listen to Toby starting at 2 o'clock. And if you want to switch over to us, that's fine. But if you stay with Toby, we're not going to mind at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, well, we are competitors.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan. That's yeah. where it starts for me. Well, the other thing that I find fascinating about the show is it's a history lesson, and not simply from what you share from the Bangor Daily Archives, but in many ways, the records you play are a history of race relations mm-hmm, in this country, mm-hmm. too. And yeah. you play some songs that make people uncomfortable and
yes.
should.
Yes, yes. I mean, I was just listening to some archive stuff the other day from 1953 with that Dear John, I Hate to Write, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People know where that term came from, a Dear John letter. Well, it was that song in 1953.
Right.
And then, of course, there was the gist of it was he was in Korea fighting, and his sweetheart writes this letter and says she's going to marry his brother. And then there's a sequel to that, which comes about a month later, where she writes again, and she's sorry, and she wants to marry him after all. And he gets the last word by saying, well, I don't think I can do that. You will have to live with what you decided. But, I mean, most people who know what a Dear John letter is don't know the details
well, exactly.
of where it came from.
And anything. That's why you need to listen to Down Memory Lane with Toby Labutalere from Maine Public Radio Classic. Classical. Maine Public, no.
We'll get you
I'm
to
get it
say
right.
it right.
Maine Public Radio Classical.
No.
No.
The Maine Public Radio is going to be the original
uh-huh,
station.
Okay. Maine Public Classical.
It sounds funny, but it really distinguishes one from the other. I mean, we're not the classical side of Maine Public Radio. We're just plain old Maine Public Classical.
Exactly.
I've been, I had a few shows where I was going on about MPBN's classical channel, you know. But in order to get people's to know what you're talking about, you have to use the same nomenclature.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of these identification things.
Well, the one that everybody knows is your program, Down yeah. Memory Lane,
yeah.
which you started in the 1970s, right?
1979. In another month, it will be 37 years old.
Wow. Wow. So you started when you were 7 with that.
Well, I came to I came to MPBN when I was 27.
Wow. So you've been doing this for a while. But people absolutely love your program, and we were chatting about it in the break. They've taken to the internet and to Facebook through the years to encourage support for your show.
Right.
What do you think it is about your program that makes people have such affection for it?
Well, I don't treat it seriously. And, you know, and I don't even know what I'm going to say about certain things. I mean, you know, I'll play something and I'd say, that's dreadful.
Yeah, but that's what people love.
Yeah,
yes.
But you see in the old days, oh, this was and that was, and you'd never make any comments about it. It was just flat. But, you know, I and even when things happen, you know, I forget, you know, you put CDs in the player, you've got to punch the number up.
Right.
A lot of times I'll put the CD in the player and go on and get the book and look at what I'm going to say, and then I come to play it, and oh, geez, I didn't cue it up.
Or you get the wrong speed
and
sometimes.
Then I'll say, here's Elvis, and then long, dead air, and then I come back and I say, well, these old aging fingers of slippery now, you know.
What's wonderful, too, when we were chatting about this during the commercial break a few minutes ago, too, on the satellite radio and some of the others that feature music from the past, they play the songs that were huge hits and the songs that people still hear today. But you expose what people were really listening to, including some of the songs that didn't do all that well, didn't have a long chart life.
Right. I mean, we were discussing during the break there about, you were saying, oh, we have all these different versions of Downtown. And I said, you have Mrs. Miller's version. And, of course, Mrs. Miller to somebody today that didn't live in the 60s, It doesn't mean a thing.
It's hard to explain Mrs. Miller to people today. Yeah. This and middle-aged woman who couldn't sing a lick.
I sort of go at this because I've had enough feedback over the years that somebody's children are listening to this. And so I sort of have an educational side to this, like, who was Glenn Miller? I mean, that sort of thing. Or, you know, what band did Bunny Berrigan come out of? You know, but not belabor it, but just clarify it. Because you don't really ever know who really is there.
But. Well, and I've learned so much from listening to your program too. And we were talking with Jeremy Morris from the cast of Waitress. You play a lot of songs that originated in Broadway shows. But it's interesting too, as you follow the history of American popular music, that for many years there might be a cast album, but countless artists would cover those Broadway songs.
Right. Well, I'm in that right now. I mean, we're getting all the hit versions of the songs out of My Fair Lady, because that was March of 1956. Mm. And so in the 56 charts that I'm doing, we're getting, you know, Rosemary Clooney's version, Vic Damone's, and, you know, all the pop artists covered. But because, as I don't know whether we mentioned this before, that the show's now 3 hours instead of two, that the material I never used to play because I didn't have time to, we'll get that all in. And when that's done at around 4:30, I'm taking the Broadway shows that were popular at the time of the chart that I'm doing. And so I'm going to play the cast album of My Fair Lady over time in the next few weeks. In the same way with The Most Happy Fellow, which was the next Broadway show to come on after My Fair Lady, will play that cast recording. In 1946, we're just getting Annie Get Your Gun, you see, was on Broadway in the spring of 1946.
Right.
So it trying to tie everything together, playing the cast recording and the hits from the chart,
I mean, do you have people tell you, because I feel this way, I'm very excited when you get to my year, you know?
That's right. Some people were in high school and they know the whole thing for 4 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I love hearing the songs from the year I was born, from when I was in high school, but also going back and I love hearing something and thinking, I bet my mother was listening to that. There's a pretty good chance, or my grandmother.
Right.
Or even back further.
And this is the thing about, you know these songs that were old. I mean, I've got one that's going now from 1916 called Memories. You know that song?
I sure do.
That was 1916, and I've got the hit versions of that, you know, going. And you know the song, but you have no idea off the top of your head when it came out.
Right.
And then you can identify with your great-grandmother or your grandmother. Mm. This was one of her favorite songs when she was young.
And we were chatting about Hamilton a little while ago, and so many of those songs that were popular in the early part of the 20th century would seem to come back on about a 15 or 20-year cycle.
Yes.
And Art Garfunkel did a version of I Only Have Eyes for You in the 70s that originated in the 30s. But I wonder if hip-hop music, if rap music will continue, will people do versions of that in 20, 30, or 40 years? For me, it's a little hard to imagine that.
Yeah, well, this was constant in the eras I'm doing, you know, from the teens to through the 60s. Now, I'm just into those great big hits of Fats Domino's, which were in the spring
56,
of
56,
I mean, and you look at those records, one side was a song he wrote, and the other was some old song. And, you know, I had one of his compositions, and the flip side of that was My Blue Heaven the other day. Well, you tell people it came from 1927.
Right.
When I was a teenager and heard My Blue Heaven, I thought that was a new hit.
Fats must have written that song.
Yeah, I'd never heard My Blue Heaven before. And you know, so this is the sort of thing I constantly point out to people, that this song really came from, you know, 40 years before.
Well, it's a great little lesson in American culture.
Yeah, well, it's worth doing. I love doing it, and that's why I'm still doing it.
Well, we're very excited. Toby LaBoutelier, Down Memory Lane, hear it on 106.1 on HD2 all over the state of Maine, and now for 3 hours.
Yeah, 2 to 5.
Fantastic.
And by the time 5 o'clock comes, I'm like a zombie. I'm sure you are after.
Feel that way at about 6:01 every night. Toby, it's great to see you.
Okay.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay. Well, Rich, this was great fun to do this again.
Toby LaBoutelier, Down Memory Lane, here with us on Downtown.